This is the Financial Side of Life podcast, episode 6.
Welcome to the Financial Side of Life podcast. Our mission, to empower you with smart financial strategies and show that it's possible to get a college education, save, invest, retire, or do whatever makes sense to help you live your best life. We'll meet amazing people and professionals who will share stories about how they do it, and together we hope to bring a little sanity to your complex financial life. And now, here is your host, certified financial planner pro and founder of Avea Financial Planning, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi.
Hey everybody, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi here. Today's interview is, from my perspective, a do-over. So, funny story, we originally had today's guest as our very first podcast guest a few months ago. And even though we had tested out the equipment, for some reason, the mics randomly cut out on either her or me or both of us. And so we just couldn't use it. But she was gracious enough to come back and let us interview her here again today. Our guest today is Julie Troxell, and she was a natural first interview. She's the work-based learning coordinator for the Delta High School here in the Tri-Cities, and part of what she does is coordinate internships for students for their senior year. I have a senior student, Lexi, who's from Delta, and she's an intern here working on this very podcast. And so as a part of the program, Julie gets to come check out our work, and so that's what she's here today doing for us. We thought she would be the perfect first interviewee, kind, understanding, as we are too, learning this whole thing about podcasting. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome again my guest, Julie Troxell.
Welcome, thanks, Julie.
Glad to have you back. So I have to say, Julie, I really think that we have completely improved since the very first time you were here. So when you listen, I think you will notice that, as well as our questions, much better. So I'd like to begin by asking if you can tell us a little bit about, first of all, Delta High School, and then your role there at Delta High.
Delta High School is in its ninth year, mm-hmm. and it is a collaboration of Richland, Pasco, and Kennewick. It's STEM-focused, and that, for most people that nowadays know what that is, but STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math, and that is our focus at Delta. We also do things just a little bit differently. We have a rotating block schedule. Our grading system is just a little bit different, and we are focused on life after high school.
Okay.
And one of those pieces is we really encourage seniors to complete an internship their senior year. It's part of our mission and our goal at the school. My job as a work-based learning coordinator is to coordinate those positions, whether it be find positions, help place students, contact community members, help when there's a conflict that might arise, which does happen,
sure.
and do job site visits like this one.
Great. And so how long have you been doing that?
This is actually my third year as the work-based learning coordinator and my fourth year at Delta High School. I am a Kennewick School District teacher,
okay.
and this is my 10th year teaching, and I'm what's considered a business and marketing teacher.
Okay. And I like to add that I have two high school students at the Delta High School as well. And from our first interview, I learned a lot about you, of course. And I learned one of the things I learned is that you had a varied college experience on your own, from starting at community college all the way to obtaining your master's.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Sure. After high school, decided just to start with our local community college. I went to Columbia Basin College. I did get married really young.
Okay.
And I had moved across country. I kept going to school that whole time. I got my AA and then moved on to WSU Tri-Cities originally, and then moved to WSU Pullman, and I have an accounting degree from WSU. In the process, after that, I became a teacher a little bit later, and once to become a teacher, I went through Central Washington University for their teaching program. It's a vocational program. I don't have a traditional teaching certification. Mm-hmm. I have a vocational certification. And then after I was teaching, then I got my master's degree online from a place in Iowa called Ashford University. And it's called teaching and learning with technology.
The degree?
Yes, okay. The master's degree.
Okay. And how was that experience doing it online? Just curious.
You know, it's really interesting because now it's been about 7 years, I think, since I got my master's. And the idea at the time was a lot of basic things that we use now, like Twitter, and had to create a Facebook and some of those things. For me, it was perfect because I had 3 children, was a single mom, and didn't have time to actually spend in the classroom. And because it's a technology degree, it really works to be able to do it on your own time. Mm-hmm. When your schedule works.
Good, good. So through going through your experience, did you ever have to take out student loans?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
I took out student loans, well, again, because I had a young family and we didn't make very much money. CBC was pretty much paid for with a grant through the Pell Grant.
Okay.
You always have to fill out the FAFSA to start, and then they tell you what they award you. And back then, pretty much that paid for my tuition. Same at WSU. I did take out loans to live on, and I really, looking at them now and seeing the amounts now, I really wish I had not done it at that level and that I had done things a little bit different. But that's probably easy to say about everything.
Well, and when you say that, I want to ask, you know, what could you have done differently? Or what, if you were in that position now, what would you do differently?
Yeah, that's a hard question at that point. I will say definitely for my master's degree, they always are willing to give you more money than just the tuition. And I would only have taken out money for the tuition and not taken any more money than that out.
And so when you say they, was this a federal loan or
yeah,
was this
sorry.
A private loan?
So I only did the Stafford subsidized and unsubsidized loans. I didn't I think I also had a Perkins grant at one time. That's a little bit a different piece. Did not do any private loans at that point. Mm-hmm. And for my education. And then for my master's degree, I think, you know, they say, I'll just give you this. And then when you're a single mom and you have 3 kids, you're thinking, oh yeah, that'd be great. And now when I look at what the interest rate is and what has to be paid back, now I'm like, I really wish I hadn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Were there any resources available or people to help you through kind of figuring out these loans, figuring out how much to take, how much would I be looking at 5, 10, 15 years down the road? Was there any help or resources for you?
You know, they give you the basic paperwork and the basic questions that they have that to answer, the frequently asked questions and that sort of thing. However, I would say I never spoke to an individual specifically. Mm-hmm. Every college has someone in the admissions office and the financial aid office. However, as far as like financial guidance and advice, there really isn't any of that. And you really don't think of it as this is how much I'm going to pay back in 20 years or how much you really don't see that until you're done. And then you see how much you need to pay and what the amounts are going to be in for how long.
Mm-hmm. So when looking at your own, kids, cause I learned that you have kids as well. And then you've got students at Delta. I'm guessing that there are resources now available that weren't available to you when you were going through this yourself. Do you see some of that being available to families?
I didn't see any of that for my own family. I try to provide that information for my students. At Delta High School, we do an advisory program, and especially senior year is really focused on life after high school, mm-hmm. from helping them apply for applications to colleges, scholarships. We give them time for the FAFSA and really just that guidance from an adult. And most of us try to provide our own experiences and help guide them in that direction. For my own students, my own children, I really still didn't think that there was much. In fact, most of their friends and girlfriends and stuff come to me for the advice for registration and how to maneuver their financial aid and their student loans. for me with my oldest, he is away at a four-year university in Oklahoma. So he's at a small private college. And it was really, for us, it was the only college he applied for. And I thought, oh gosh, how in the world am I going to do this? And really, truly, it worked out. He was a pretty typical upper-end student. He graduated with not quite a 3.7 GPA, but enough that he got $8,000 a year in academic scholarships. And I really do encourage families, it doesn't always have to be just the state school. A lot of the private universities, they give money that the public universities can't give. And they have small scholarships and some automatic like academic scholarships that the larger colleges just don't have the availability to do. Mm-hmm. So Jacob has had many different small scholarships. He, like I said, he's down in Oklahoma, so I call it the little old lady scholarships mm-hmm. that he has. Mm-hmm. He's a music major, and he also has done really well. He's actually gotten more scholarships every year. And so I think that's really important for people to know. Once you get into your major, a lot of times there are scholarships to apply for your specific major. So what you might have your freshman and sophomore year, that actually could change. I really encourage students to look into those things.
Right, and apply.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And looking back at your experiences, is there anything that you wish someone would have shared with you to help you kind of get to this point in your life?
I think having a better understanding of the whole process and like the fees and such. Like when you get a student loan, you, automatically they take a part in the beginning. And so like your freshman year for a Stafford loan, the subsidized, I believe, is $5,500. Well, you're not going to get $5,500 because the first part of it is a fee that's already tacked on. And so it's just understanding those pieces, I think, is really important. I did the first 2 years of my son's college, I took out a parent loan. And those come at a lot heftier interest rate. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, part of the reason I did it was, one, because it was important to me for him to have this experience. I also knew that my life would be changing because I was single at the time. I'm married now. I knew I was going to be selling my house. And I knew that some of the proceeds of my house, I was planning to pay that off. However, if I hadn't, I'd be paying a 7% interest rate on that. And I think that that is really important to really understand what the big picture is. It's just, it is really hard. So I really do think it's important sometimes to take a step back and see what the big picture is and also know it's possible and what the ultimate outcome and what your goals are that really is possible to do.
Good, good, good. So you've got several kids mm-hmm. and you touched on a little bit of working with them through this process as well. Can you look at your personal experience and share with us a little bit more about how things have unfolded with your different kids? You know, knowing that kids are, you know, if I have four kids, I have four unique individuals.
Very much
and
so.
And each kid has their talents and strengths.
Absolutely.
Some are school oriented, some aren't. You know, how has it worked out in your home with regard to post high school plans?
My oldest, I would say, is more that typical kid. Played sports in high school, was involved. He did school well, had decent grades. I just asked him, it wasn't even like, hey, you need to get this certain GPA. I said, don't get zeros. And actually, most of the time, that's exactly what he did. Exactly that, not get zeros. And because of that, he graduated with a fairly decent GPA, was able to move on. So he will graduate in 4 years with a degree. And that's that typical, what people would consider that typical, I think, I wouldn't even call it normal anymore, but that typical experience. My middle child definitely did not take that path. He did have some health issues. Mm-hmm. And though he actually graduated high school in 5 years, I don't know if I shared that with you last time. However, very bright kid. And he did Running Start at Columbia Basin College. So he did college courses in high school. You can get more credits that way. I don't recommend it for everyone. It is a lot tougher and they're very much on their own. Mm-hmm. For him, it worked. And even though he graduated high school a year later, he is on track at the same level of the people he would have graduated with. And so he's just finishing his first year of full being a college student, not a high school student at a college campus. And it's been a really good experience for him. So his decision was, didn't have the best GPA either. And so he said, I'm not going to go into debt and I'm not going to put you into debt. He isn't at a point where he can get scholarships for academics or anything like that. And he chose to stay with the community college. He was ready to leave the area. Mm-hmm. He's my middle child, so he's fiercely independent. He moved to Bellingham, and most people think from here, if you think Bellingham, you think Western Washington University. He went to the community college.
Okay.
And so he's at a community college called Whatcom. That has been an amazing experience. We've been very impressed with them. He is studying business management, marketing is his goal. He's my long-haired snowboarder. He's my long-haired kid out of all of my children, all the girls. And so he's been focusing on that and finishing up his AA and his business prereqs. He has still decided that maybe Western isn't the right fit for him. And mainly because I don't academically, honestly, I'm not sure GPA-wise he can get in, to be honest. Mm-hmm. He does work hard, just doesn't come as naturally. And so I think he is going to, we've been working with, WGU, Western Governors University, because I think that'll be a really good fit for him. He's done a lot of online classes, and WGU is an online program for those who don't know. And they definitely are set up a little bit different. I don't know all the ins and outs of how they do it yet. I know it's a little bit more progress-based, and it's also a little bit cheaper. And for him, that was important for him, too. He doesn't want to come out with student loans, and he doesn't want me to have to pay for everything forever, which is really nice. And so right now, I pay his rent and that sort of thing. But really, I'm not paying any more, any less. Actually, I'm probably paying less still. For him to do those types of things than I was for Jacob to do room and board and the tuition, even with the academic scholarships. So for us, it really works. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the right fit for him. My daughter is 18 and finishing up high school, and she wants to be a life skills teacher, and she's very good working with people with disabilities. However, she fiercely hates school. So at this point, I don't see her starting college right away. She did do some Running Start, and that wasn't a great fit for her either. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen with that. She has a little bit of a college fund, only because she was in an accident and received a settlement, and because she was under 18, that's where they put it.
Okay.
I did not have a college fund for my kids. As a single mom, there was not extra money to make any of that happen. And we have, so everything we've done with Jacob and Joel has been just that money, right. and some loans for Jacob. For Jessa, she will have a little bit of a cushion on that. And I think that will be really good because she needs a little time to figure that out. So we'll just see what happens with there. Her and I have talked immensely. And right now for us, like you said, every kiddo is different. And for her, we've had to make some changes based on some other situations. And so for us, this is what it's better to take a day by day and just kind of focus on getting through school by June. And that's the focus right now. So we'll just see. I do think it's really important to take every kid individually. And my kids know that. I made very clear to my younger ones that just because Jacob went away to college right away and we were able to make that work didn't mean that's exactly what was going to happen for them. So
as parents, one of the things I do is I read a Facebook group, and there's a lot of comments from parents on their kids getting into a very top-notch type colleges. So, you know, in listening to your family's story, how do parents help their own kid sort of identify what's the best path for them? Any tips on that?
Yeah, actually, I've really spent a lot of time on that. And the thing is that everybody is really different. And I think it's important to see what is out there and really do your own research. With Jacob, his situation is a little bit different, and he feels called to ministry, and this is the school he wanted to go to. There wasn't a a different school of option for him, this is the right school for him. For Joel, we looked at some other schools. So him and I went in August before his senior year. We went to a couple of schools. And one of the things I really liked, I think it was at, I want to say it was at Montana State. They said, what do you love? Like, what is your stress reliever? And that's what I tell seniors all the time. What do you like to do when you're not studying, you're not in class? Do you like cold weather? Do you want to be on a mountain in your free time and how you relieve stress? If that's the case, then sunny California is probably not for you. If you like to people watch and sit in coffee shops, then Seattle might be a good place for you. Pullman, no. You know, so it's finding that piece, I think, is really important. And also size. It really is, when you go away to a large public university in our state, that would mostly be WSU and UW. However, Eastern, Central, Western, they're all large schools as mm-hmm. well. They're pretty much the little fish in a big pond. Are they ready for that? Can they maneuver all of that on their own? And I think that that's really important. And also, on the private schools and the small schools, you're getting a lot more adult attention from your professors, and your classroom size is a lot smaller. You're really getting a different experience. And I think for us, a lot of it boils down to what your belief system and your values are. And I'm a firm believer in they're adults and they're not completely grown and they have a lot of changes that they still have. And really what's going to help them find their way and find their path. And for us, it's been having that more one-on-one interaction with other adults and like-mindedness has been really important. Joel is, you know, not at a university specifically. However, he's started to get involved in like the business club at the community college and that sort of thing. And so finding those connections, I think, is really important. I definitely think it's important to really know what it is you're looking for and what the ultimate outcome is going to be.
How much of a role is the cost of college, do you think, in making decisions as a family?
Well, I think that, well, try to decide how I want to answer this. I would say it's the number one thing for most families. When I sit in student-led conferences and I hear from parents, I think that is the very first thing that comes to mind. Can we afford it? Can we not afford it? And so I think that that is 100% probably the primary decision factor. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is there are ways to that to be important and to still be able to have an affordable education. And again, with Jacob, he could not have stayed here and gone to WSU Pullman or even Eastern, and we would have had to spend more money for him to do those things than where he went. So I think it's important to really do your homework and do your research mm-hmm. and to have an open mind about what other options are out there.
And we'll try to post a couple of websites that help in that research. I think College Board is one, and mm-hmm. there's just a number of very good websites out there to help families dial into what the sticker price mm-hmm. may be Absolutely. Versus what you end up actually paying, yeah. Which can be different. So those are good things to consider.
And also that you do have to consider all the other pieces that come with it. So one of the things I forgot about was here in Washington right now in 2018, minimum wage is $11.50, which is awesome for Joel, who works at a coffee shop and also gets tips. Jacob works down in Oklahoma on campus, so he has a work study job for $7.25, because that's what federal minimum wage is, mm-hmm. and that's like what it is in Idaho. So I hadn't thought, those are a few of the things I hadn't thought about. Mm-hmm. There really is a gap when you're making $4.25 less an hour, and it makes a lot of sense why his bank account looks different than Joel's. So still totally worth it. And the good news is I was just there last week and it's, you know, gas is only $2.25. So there's some pros and some cons. Sure. However, there is a lot more to consider in the fees and that sort of thing.
Travel.
Yeah, travel for sure. However, also For example, a lot of the schools, they close during different breaks. So he gets an entire week at Thanksgiving. The campus is closed. He needs to go somewhere. He doesn't come home. It's too expensive for us to fly him home at Thanksgiving. And because of the college that he's at and the welcomeness that he has received, I hadn't even left the day that I dropped him off without a family saying, hey, he can come home with us for Thanksgiving. Mm. And I think that those things are really important to parents, probably moms a little bit more maybe than dads. But I think it's really important. That was really important to me in August to know that my child was going to be fed on Thanksgiving, you know.
Taken care of. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. How did scholarships come into play with your kids? Did it?
So scholarships, I think, are really important. When I had advisory for seniors, I really talked about it a lot. There are tons of scholarships out there. And what's unfortunate is there's not just this one place to find them all. Mm-hmm. But it really is true that there are scholarships that are not applied for every year. And so it's really paying attention to those pieces. The bottom line is the number one deciding factor is academics, is GPA. It just is. And not everybody agrees with that. And everybody understands that in the beginning. And most of the time, by the time you're senior, you're wishing you had done things a little bit different. It is the driving factor. And so it's really important to do that as best as you can. The thing is, though, it doesn't have to be just valedictorians, just 4.0s, right. Just those types of things. Just having a high enough GPA really does help.
So when you say high enough, what kind of range would you
say? I would say at least a 3.5. Mm-hmm. For Jacob, if he had had a 3.7, his college had a full ride all 4-year scholarship that you could apply for. They have 10 a year that they give away. Mm. And that seems like, oh, only 10. However, the school is about 2,000 students. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 400 to 500 students a year. Mm-hmm. And 10 of those students are receiving those scholarships. And that's actually a pretty decent number, mm-hmm. if you break down the percentage. But there's a lot of other scholarships to apply for as well. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of little essays to write, or there's apps now and all that. I know that every high school in our area, in the Tri-Cities, has a career center, except Delta, but we have advisory.
Okay.
And they provide scholarship lists. They have information. And so the number one thing I would say is tell your students to listen to the daily announcements, mm-hmm. and to check their email, because they are getting information from these career center people, mm-hmm. and that's available to them. And it's important to just know what's going on and to ask. I think going to events when there's a FAFSA night, or there's a scholarship fair or college fair, just go, because you're going to learn something. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel like you're an expert in one spot, there's just some information you're going to learn and you're going to be able to glean that could make a difference there.
Okay.
And then each individual colleges have their piece as well. So my son was a fine arts major. He had to actually audition, and from that audition he received, the first year he just got $1,000 for his academics, or not academics, sorry, his fine art for his music. His scholarship is now up to $3,000. However, he also gets so much for, he's in two different choirs, and he gets even more money for those, and then a bunch of all little scholarships. So like I said, I said this last time, I took a parent loan out the first 2 years. He has made enough in his scholarships now that everything is covered except his FAFSA, his Stafford loan.
Okay.
And so I no longer have to do that. And Stafford loans are always first. That's the first thing that always gets borrowed if there's money that's owed and there's loans that are taken out. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's important.
Okay. So I think I'm going to ask you my closing question, which is one I try to ask all of our guests. What do you think would be your best advice to an aspiring college student?
When it comes to the financial parts?
Anything.
Or just in general?
Anything at all.
I would say,
with your own experience and with that, you know, seeing your kids go through these.
You know, it's so funny because it's funny you should say that, because Jacob, being a senior in college now, he has had just a lot going on, and things have been pretty stressful. And we've been laughing because seniors in high school right now are also feeling it. And we're like, wouldn't you wish you could go back and be a high school stressful senior over a college stressful senior? Like, yes. I would just say really, truly enjoy the experience and be engaged. Know what's going on around you. Know your peers. Know your professors. Know the name of the guy that comes and dumps the garbage in your classrooms. Know the lady who makes your latte every day. Like, be engaged in your life and the people around you. And that can be anywhere from researching scholarships to joining clubs to being part of a study group. I would just say be engaged in what goes around you. And I think sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And the more we are engaged in what's going on, the better off we will know those things. And so that was just what I would say. I think anytime when we go back and we look at life how it was 10 years ago, there's things that we think we would do differently. And
sure.
For college students, I would say enjoy the experience and be actively involved.
Excellent. All right, Julie. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming by and stopping in the podcast booth here in Richland today. So appreciate your time and sharing your personal stories, especially. Always, I think, of great value.
Thanks for having me for people.
All right. Thanks, Julie. I want to thank Julie for stopping by the podcast booth and sharing her story with us today. And thank you for listening to today's program. Be sure to check over the show notes for details from our conversation. If you've enjoyed our discussion today, I invite you to listen again and subscribe to our podcast at aveafp.com. That's www.aveaf.com. Leave a review for our program. Thank you for tuning in.